Beloved, be loved. Now we're here to the end of John's letter, and we're going to look here in a few moments about really John's last words to us. But before we get there, we've got some other last words that we came across.
Yes, we do. Famous last words. And to me, it's, you know, tombstones are the great place to put them, the epitaph things. Here's one from Tombstone, Arizona. It's world famous. Probably you know this one. Here lies Lester Moore. Four slugs from a 44. No less, no more.
I like one from Vic Morrow, a actor. He said, I should have used a stunt double.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. There's one that actually is from a gravestone where there's not even a name that goes with it. It's just this emblazoned little phrase, I told you I was sick. It's like, that's the ultimate last word, isn't it? Yeah. I told you I was sick. Then there's one more. Let me give you one more from another gravestone. This would be somebody you know, Rodney Dangerfield, who, of course, made a living with getting no respect and a comedian. His tombstone, after all the details, says, there goes the neighborhood.
Yeah, I had one from a writer. He said, everybody has to die. But I always believed an exception would be made in my case. Now what?
That's a great question. Or, how about this one? A guy in Ruidoso, New Mexico. This is his tombstone. Here lies John Yeast. John Yeast. Pardon me for not rising.
It really makes me want to start going around cemeteries to find the absolute best tombstone.
It does. These great last lines.
Bat Masterson, he said, we all get the same amount of ice. The rich get it in summer, and the poor get it in winter.
Another Old West special. Here's one, though, from England. And this is probably the last one. We should actually get on to teaching something today.
Probably.
But there is a gravestone in England that had this poetic kind of little phrase on it. You must come and follow me. For as I am, you soon will be. Now, that's a sobering message, but somebody had the good foresight to attach a note to the bottom of the tombstone, and it says, to follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went.
That is absolutely great.
That
really is a great lead-in to the last few moments that really John is taking in this letter.
Yes.
Because John really is just wanting to bring home the point, beloved, believe, and be loved.
Yes.
So let's read starting in verse 13, chapter 5, 1 John. I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. And we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make our requests, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. If you see a fellow believer sinning in a way that does not lead to death, you should pray, and God will give that person life. But there is a sin that leads to death. And I'm not saying you should pray for those who commit it. All wicked actions are sin, but not every sin leads to death. We know that God's children do not make a practice of sinning, for God's Son holds them securely, and the evil one cannot touch them. We know that we are children of God and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God because we live in fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God. He is eternal life. Dear children, keep away from anything that may take God's place in your hearts.
Isn't that beautiful? I love that because this is the last word. This is the the epilogue of this epistle, of this letter of John. This is his word that really just stresses the motivation behind everything that he's been saying and everything that he's been putting out there and what we've been sharing in this series. And that motivation is clearly to motivate believers in these two areas, to believe and to be loved. To believe that you have this wonderful gift of eternal life through what Christ has done, and to then live as a result of that in this loving environment of the love of the Lord. I want to urge everybody, though, as we're reading through these scriptures and as we begin to share this today, that you don't get hung up. It's easy to look at passages like a sin that leads to death and a sin that doesn't lead to death, and you start to become a little confused about those, and you say, wait a minute, what's that all about? I would urge everyone today that we're not going to try to go into every little, you know, nook and cranny here and try to parse every verse, because those are the sort of the subtexts of some of this. There is a you don't need a hidden message in this one, because the truth here is as clear as if it were engraved on a tombstone. Mm-hmm. This is that clear. And the clear truth that John is trying to get across to everyone is that you learn to refuse to run to the foolish issues, and you become a solid believer who is entrenched in the eternal life that God has given you. He gives us a word for the then and the there, this eternal component, if you will, this futuristic component piece. And basically, his instruction is just believe, because you have eternal life. And he doesn't just give us a word for the there and then, he gives us a word for the here and now. And the word for the here and now is that we're not hung up about having to believe anymore. Now we can be loved. We can live in this love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can serve him more powerfully and effectively that way.
Yeah, and certainly there is an order to what we're talking about. You want to make sure that you have the there and then in place so you really can live in the here and now. And it's easy to get them confused. If I live in the here and now correctly, I'll be okay with the there and then. But it's actually reversed. He writes this so that we might believe, so that we might know that we have eternal life. He's talking about a confidence that ultimately he wants every believer to live with. Not just when you feel good, not just when the emotions line up like the stars. He wants us to live with a confidence of the there and then every day of our life. And we know confidence is just such a funny thing when it comes to earthly terms, because if you're an Arizona Cardinal fan like I am, you have confidence at the beginning of the season. You have confidence in the draft, and then it kind of wanes as you go along. I remember when years ago, not long after the Cardinals moved to Arizona from St. Louis, they paid for a free agent quarterback. And I'll never forget the commentator saying about the quarterback, he just needs confidence. And I'm thinking, for crying out loud, you're paying him $8 million a year. Shouldn't he just come with confidence? I mean, you would think, right? But the reality is that we're human, and when we have confidence in ourselves, we're good one day and not so good the next day. But John really isn't talking about confidence in ourselves, because if he was, then that would be the struggle. Well, I got confidence today and not tomorrow. He's talking about confidence in what Jesus Christ has already done, or confidence in Jesus Christ and him alone. And when you grow in that confidence, then things begin to, they really begin to settle out for you. You really are able to live a life that he intends for you to live, because you get settled the there and then. Now, basically, when it comes to this confidence, I saw a prayer that I latched onto a while ago, and it just very simply said, a man says to Jesus, "Jesus, I have a problem, and it's me." And Jesus responded and said, "I have a solution, and it's me." Mm-hmm. And that's the way the Lord wants us to live, having our confidence fully and completely in him. And then when your confidence is fully and completely in him, what happens is that there and then, or let me put it this way, your destiny is established. The there and then is that last chapter is certainly written. Of course, we know that it's not a last chapter. It goes on forever and ever. But that place where we're looking for that is the pinnacle of this life in Christ, when we see and are with him forever, that is completed. And that's what John is talking about, this eternity that comes to us in this place of believing. But it's not believing in what I can do. It's believing in what he has already done. Think about it this way. Clarissa and I lived up till 5 years ago, our married life in Arizona. And when people think of Arizona, you think of desert and cactus. And what they don't realize about Arizona is there's virtually no place in Arizona that you can go and not see a mountain. And so in June, when it's the hottest and it's 110, 115, 120 degrees, you're looking to escape that kind of heat. And so early in our marriage, and we didn't have much money, the only place that we could escape was Flagstaff, Arizona, which Arizona, Phoenix is about 2,000 square feet, and the base of Flagstaff is 8,000 feet. So you have to go up 6,000 feet. And so we would all, you know, load the family in the car, and we would start on our journey to Flagstaff. Now, in those early days, I wasn't going and buying a new car. And so whenever I got in the car, I began to stress about the confidence of this car that I've purchased to actually make it to where we're going. And halfway to Flagstaff, there's this one hill that you begin to go up. And they suggest turning your air conditioner off 120 degrees. Yes, turn your air conditioner off so your car won't overheat going up. And so I literally, the whole trip, inside that in my gut, I've got this stress that is ever growing until we actually get there. Now, here's the thing. This is why John is writing this. This is why we've been hammering this home that beloved, be loved, is that when you get it settled, when you get the confidence in who Christ Jesus is and that your then and there is already established, it's already taken care of, it's not something that is in your hands, it's in his hands, then all of a sudden you get to enjoy the trip there. It's just not a matter of getting there. You get to enjoy the sight. So it didn't matter when I was driving up to Flagstaff if the kids were telling the most wonderful, great story of their life, or my wife was talking about some, I was listening to every little creak, every little thing about the car. Why? Mm-hmm. Because I didn't have confidence in that car's ability to get me where I'm going. John is saying that the confidence that we have, if you place it and believe in Jesus, you have what you need to get there. So now you don't have to live your life trying to get others to believe. You don't have to work to get people to think that this is the way that you are. You're settled in who you are because my life is in him. And so I don't have to maneuver myself. I don't relationally or even with the Lord going, I have to do this and be that and work this way to make sure he's happy enough with me so that when it comes to the then and there, everything is okay. No, not at all. It's settled in him. So beloved, get that settled today. Don't let that go any further. If you're stressing about the there and then right now, then believe that what he did for you is enough and move into a relationship where you can be loved.
Amen. That's a great picture. That I can just see the car drive up the mountain. I too have made that journey up those feet in elevation. And it's if you have confidence in the outcome, if you know you're going to arrive, mm-hmm. then you can enjoy the journey. But when you don't, you don't. If you don't have a confidence, if you don't believe, if you don't know that these things are sealed and settled in Christ, then you're not sealed and settled in Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's really what the scripture teaches, that we are settled in Christ. We have received. This is the gift that he's brought to us. And it's not something we earn. It's never something that we deserve. And it's certainly not something that we somehow pay for by our activities on the earth. We don't do that. But there's a relationship between the two. Because we receive this gift, because we believe that we have this eternal life, now we can live as the beloved children of God. And so having a solid solid belief and an understanding and appreciation of the there and then, of the gift that God has brought to us of eternal life. This is what John says. I'm writing to you so you get this. Know that your there and then is a sealed deal. But when you know that, now there's a here and now component. How does a person who is absolutely assured of that live? Do we just sit around twiddling our thumbs waiting? Well, I hope he comes today. I hope he comes before I die tonight, blah, 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 whatever kind of things. Yeah. No, God has called us right here and now to a place of a wonderfully motivated ministry. And clearly the motivation for our ministry is not to get there. If I just do enough, then I'll have a good entry into heaven. No, no, no. It's already reserved for us. We already have an entry. We already have the promise of eternal life. And it's in Jesus Christ the Lord. This is the place of our confidence. This is the place of our belief. This is the place of our peace. And so we're not laboring to get there. We're not fighting for this. We're actually laboring from this. That's that difference we spoke about last week about duty and devotion. This loving response to the Lord's work in our lives is what then? It's an issue of calling. One is an issue. Belief is an issue that creates confidence. And then we're confident in our calling. What are we supposed to do here and now? Well, we're supposed to live first in the love of Jesus Christ. That's the clear truth that we have, as Rich said, trying to hammer home over this whole series, because it's what John really says again and again in a whole bunch of different ways. And so we hope you're not tired of this, because this is an untiring, eternal, never-ending, glorious truth that we are loved by God. And we're loved because God is God. And that's just the way He is. And so deal with it. Deal with it. He loves you. Deal with it. And how do you deal with it? Be loved. Be loved. Believe that. Believe that truth. Accept the grace that God has prophesied and promised us, this glorious eternal inheritance in Christ. But right here, right now, you have a chance to live in a way that is markedly different than everybody else. And it's right in the middle of this scripture. It says you're living as these children of the light in the middle of a world that is really wicked and evil. And that make no mistake about it, there is darkness as well as light in the earth. There is a lot of wickedness and sin and evil in the world, but it's separated from the people who are the people of God. That's why the children of God don't go on sinning. They don't live in the darkness. They don't just stumble around. They're not hoping for a better outcome and looking for, you know, the right answer to any given point in time. No, no, no. We're living from this place of incredible confidence, and we're living in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. But because we live in the love of Christ, we're not striving to become something. We're living from this place of love. So we live differently than everybody else. We don't love the world. Why? Well, because we love the Lord. You know, whenever anybody says, oh, it just doesn't get better than, you know, winning the lottery or having all your bills paid or having the right, you know, mate or No. The reality is our satisfaction, our great joy comes from living in the love of Jesus Christ the Lord. We live in a love relationship with Him that puts us in this place of light. It puts us in this place of love and grace and mercy. And it puts us in a place of real confidence where we can actually pray with power. That's live in love, pray in power. And praying in power really is what he's talking about. We have a confidence that if we ask according to the will of God, not only does God hear us, but we actually have the petitions that we ask him for. And so what are we asking him for? Oh, a new car, a bigger house, a cooler this, a better that, you know, skin that doesn't sag with age. No, no, I'm sorry. These are all the wrong kind of request. What are we asking for? Here's what it says in the scripture. We're supposed to be asking for the life of those who live in darkness. We're supposed to be asking for the salvation of those who are bound by sin. That's what we're supposed to ask for. We are here to live in love, to pray with power, but the praying that we do with power is because we are seeking to save that which is lost. And I've got to tell you, this is the calling of every Christian, This is not just the calling of the pastor of the church. This is not just the calling of the preacher at any given point in time or the leader of the crusade, the organizer of the event. No, no, no. This is the ministry of every believing person. This is who John is writing to, everyone who is beloved. Everyone, beloved, all of you. If you were Southern, it'd be all y'all. All y'all, you need to believe that you are beloved, and in being loved, you are able to love everyone else and seek to save that which is lost. Seek to pray for the salvation of the nations. Certainly, that's something everybody ought to be doing. And if you're not, I really believe God will help you to start to see that. I hope that in the middle of this current craziness that's going on in the world, that you're not just sitting around hoping that somewhere, someone's going to legislate something, someone's going to pass some law that's going to change everything. No, they're not. If you're looking for that, you're looking for the Antichrist. You're looking for the peace giver who's going to come along and be the answer to the planet. Here's the truth. The answer to the planet involves the destruction of the planet, involves the ending of stuff the way it is. Christ is coming back. There is an eternal life. He is going to make a difference. But here's the truth. In the meantime, you and I get to live in the love of Christ. We get to pray with power and confidence that comes from God, because we know that whosoever will be saved. That everybody who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so what do we want to do? We want to change them all in one fell swoop? No, we want to individually touch each and every one that we can, everyone that we serve. We call it circles of influence, but here's the truth. Every one of us travel in circles of influence. There are people that you know and relate to in a totally unique way just because of the rhythms of your life. You didn't pick them. You didn't choose them. They're not your congregants. They don't come to attend some meeting you hold. But somehow, on every week that you live, you sort of interface with them. You deal with them. They deal with you. You see them. You think about them. You're forced to interact with them. Here's the plan of God. That you will love them with the love of the Lord, living in love, that you'll begin to pray with power, that the will of God will be actually done inside of their life, and then that you will see that you are the one who has a chance to seek to see them saved. You're the one who is able to, in the language of some of the scripture, be able to pull them like a burning thing out of the fire. You'll be able to seek to save that which is lost. And I really believe that God wants that for each and every one of us. In fact, I think that's one of the great joys of the ministry. I think that's one of the great joys of the calling of God to every member in the body of Christ. Every one of us, we are ministers of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are ministers of the power and the grace of God that we have to pray. But we pray for the things that are the will of God, and that is that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So we want to encourage you in this. We really want to pray for you in this, that the Lord will just help you in this season of your ministry and help you to live in love, pray with power, and seek to save that which is lost. Here's what I want to say finally about the world, and then Rich, if you would, pray for us today as we kind of close this time. That'll be our last words, our praying last words. But when I think about the world, here's what I think about, and this is what I think John is actually saying. We are in it. Beloved, we are in it, but we are not of it. And we're in it so that we can save those who are in it, out of it. We want to get them to the place where they will receive, they will know the thing that we already know. They will have the same confident assurance of the eternal life that God has given to them, because we're able to bring them along in the name of Jesus.
And I would, before I pray, I would add that, you know, there's a lot of conversation in our world right now, especially from the Christian community, is we need to change our world. The reality is Jesus came once and is coming again. The first time he came to change the worldly. And then he'll come again to change the world. And we're called, once our world's been changed, not to change the world, but to change the worldly. And that's what you were talking about, their circle of influence. And I'm going to pray that, one, if you've not been living with confidence, do what I did. When I started getting a little more money, I actually started renting cars. I got into something I could be confident about. You need to be in Christ. And he's got an open door for you to be in him, so you can live with confidence that the there and then is taken care of, so you can focus on the circle of your influence here and now. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness. And Lord, I pray for every person that is living with a low to high level of anxiety about the there and then. And I pray, Lord, that they will move into a life with you, that they will say yes to you, that they will learn to be loved so that they might live in the confidence that that their destiny is secure, so that they can move into the calling for the here and now, so they can live in the love of Christ in a way that is attractive, in a way that whets the appetite of those who are in darkness, so that the people that you have in your providence, in your setting up of the here and now, those people, that they would have a profound influence yes. on, that they would be able to seek them out and see them saved so their life might be confident in you. And so, Lord, thank you for working that in all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.